Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2020, and we are reading in the big book on page 85, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Kathy G. on the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Shannon M., Kara L., and Dawn B. We will be reading on page 85, the second full paragraph. I think I said that already. Here are our reference numbers for the last two meetings. The share ID for Sunday's special edition is 14,027 or 14027. And the reference ID for this morning's 7 a.m. East Coast meeting is 14,029 or 14029. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Here's the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Kathy. My name is Rhonda R. I'm from Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that our sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study on page 85 of the Big Book, the second full paragraph. And I will ask Shannon M. to get us started.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. And when I was reading that this morning, it just reminded me, it says, if we have carefully followed directions. So I'm not going to get that sense of flow or that sixth sense if I'm not carefully following the directions in the book. So not necessarily the directions of a fellow or a sponsor. While those are amazing suggestions, my main thing is I have to follow the directions in the book. And so if someone is telling me to do something, because I've been suggested at times things that seemed a little bit off, and I was like, well, can you show me where it says that in the book? Because this book is the tool that's going to get me, and these steps are what is going to get me that God consciousness. And there are other things that work really well too, but I've found that this, doing it exactly as it's outlined in the book, is the only thing that's truly helped me in 9 years of recovery. I worked the steps multiple times in other programs as well as this, and I just never got that God consciousness. And the main reason is because I wasn't doing step 10. Step 10 wasn't something that was really talked about or done. And so I wasn't getting that that relief and that those promises. And as soon as I started listening to the vision meetings and worked the steps the way it's directly outlined in this book, and carefully followed those directions, then I did start having a relationship with a higher power and feeling that spirit within me. And now I know I can recognize it, whereas I didn't even know what it was before. And now I can recognize it and take the direction. Not always the first time. I don't always take the direction the first time. Sometimes God has to like beat me over the head to get me to actually listen to what he's trying to tell me. Cause I'll hear it and just be like, no, I think I'll be okay. And then it always backfires. So it's better for me just to follow it right away. And then it says to, we must go further, and that means more action. So I just have to keep doing this action. And while this program is suggestive only, like I don't have to do anything I don't want to, I'm not going to get the relief and the rewards of the program unless I do everything that this book tells me to do. And I do the action. So, I mean, do I want to get up at 5 a.m. so that I can have quiet time before my kids wake up? No, I definitely don't want to do that. But I do it because if I don't, then I'm not going to get the relief that I have for the day. And I'm not going to get my quiet time with God. And so I am appreciative. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Shannon M., for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to take some names of people who would like to share on what Shannon read.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Joe M.
Joe M.
Sarah F.
Is that Sarah F?
Yes.
Okay.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Don B.
Don B.
Marilyn T.
Gretchen.
Okay, Marilyn T. And then I think I heard Gretchen. Is that right? Did I hear someone after Marilyn T.? Okay, we'll go with this then. I have Deborah G., Joe M., Sarah S., Julie E.B., Dawn B., and Marilyn B. Please share with us, Deborah G.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, all those that have made this meeting possible, all the service work that everyone does. And thank you so much for your share on that paragraph, because it sparked something for me. I didn't realize, I was talking to my sponsor this morning, and she had also, when I was talking, mentioned that she sensed something was going on there. And it wasn't until I heard this paragraph and heard the previous share that I have a resentment with this woman. And so I need to do the work on that, do a 10-step. And because I love that feeling, that experience of being close and feeling that spirit, that God consciousness, having those intuitive thoughts, that vital sixth sense. It's just a beautiful, beautiful way to live and to do my day, you know. But when I have those things that crop up, it interferes with that. It takes that away. And resentment always takes away my heart opening. You know, I walk with a closed heart when I have resentment. I notice I've been somewhat distanced from her. And so, yes, recognizing that. So, you know, I'm just so grateful, too, that it's all about that awareness. You know, awareness. When I have that God consciousness, I become aware. You know, and I did do my prayer and meditation this morning. It was wonderful. And I think that's why when I got this awareness, that's what it does. And now I can get free of it. So Thank you all so much for sharing and being of service.
Thank you, Deborah G. Joe M., please share with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm Joe M. from Cedar Hills, Utah, and I'm a compulsive overeater that has just begun this program at the beginning of the year. I very much appreciated this morning's paragraph, and I can report that it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me to call my sponsor, and I've now met with her 3 times. We're meeting weekly. I've got a nutritionist based on her counsel, which is a great blessing as well. I wanted to talk just briefly about my experience in the spiritual side of this. Faith is something we believe in that's true that we can't see. And for me to believe that I can not just, you know, lower my weight, but conquer an addiction that has been part of my life for 3 or 4 decades requires a lot of faith. And I believe that faith almost always moves its possessor to action. And that's what it says in the last line, but we must go further. And that means more action. I love that, because just because we believe something that's true that we cannot see, that's not going to get us there. And that's why I love this program so much, and why I appreciate so much those who are compulsive overeaters in recovery or recovered, because that gives me hope. That's almost like confirming faith, right? I hear every day people who share on this line, this beautiful group of people who have succeeded. That gives me hope. And I have been abstinent now for several days, which I haven't been for some time. And that's also giving me hope that I can change. And I just want to express gratitude to my sponsor. Interestingly, I mentioned in a previous call, she's been part of this group for 1.5 years. She's never shared, which is amazing. She's very capable of sharing, but she's a very humble individual that has conquered her lust of food that does not benefit us. And so she set a great example for me. So as I conclude here, let me express gratitude again for those in this group who do share and that have shed such a great example to me in overcoming something that we all know can be very difficult. And with that, I thank those who have read in giving service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joe M., for your share. Sarah S., please share with us.
Oh, hi. Good morning. This is Sarah S. from California, and I'm grateful to be able to share. I have a regular call on Monday mornings from a friend, a fellow who I was in a fellowship with in 12-step up in Northern California, and she was sharing with me about her recent hand surgery and how she was feeling better, and she was doing all these things, and the hairs on the back of my neck went up because I was like, wait, tell me more. What are you doing? But you're supposed to be healing. And I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. So she finished talking, which is a gift of this program. I listened, and I shared with her that when I had my foot surgery, I had to stay off my foot for 8 weeks. Well, 8 days later after my surgery, I felt good. I started mopping the floors. I started dusting with one arm under a crutch or on top of a crutch. And I had to have the surgery all over again. I had to do it all over again. And I shared with her, but when I had my other foot surgery, I stayed off my foot. I followed the doctor's orders, and I healed in less time than they thought it would take. Not only was I in a food program and eating well and was healthy, I followed the doctor's orders. And I say that because the next thing she told me broke my heart. That was that a fellow had passed away from his disease up there, and he was found alone in his apartment, morbidly obese. The police found him after fellows asked for a wellness check. And all I heard was, Sarah, work this program like your hair's on fire, because it's so easy to let up on a spiritual program. So I'm showing up on the meeting today. I show up on the meeting every day, but I don't speak enough, and it's of service to me to get these things up and out. And if it helps anyone, and that, you know, if doing what I need to do will put this fire out on my hair, I'm doing it, because if I don't, my hair on fire will kill me, right? That's the way I'm interpreting it today. So, this is Sarah from California. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Sarah S., for your share. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs, and how precious that we can gather together and hear the truth about this disease. And I like to just think about this paragraph in context today. This is a 10-step paragraph, and one of the things I love about this meeting is we get concrete. We dig into the text. It keeps us on task, receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from my higher power that has all knowledge and power. If I'm just starting this program, I remember that no matter what I knew, I never had enough power, and I never knew as much as I thought I did, because I went back to the food over and over and over. I went back to restricting over and over and over. And when I found somewhere else for that to flow from, I carefully follow directions. I can sense that flow, a flow of something different into me. And God conscious is important to me. To me, conscious is a word I trace throughout this book as part of my spiritual experience of just getting more and more awake, not to myself, my own petty designs and plans, but to something bigger happening in the world. And I practice, and this to me is talking about what happens when I'm working those 10 steps, when I'm letting go of those resentments, fears, guilt. Then I can sense on the other side, as I ask God to remove anger, God to remove fear, God to mold my ideals, that's when I start to get strength and inspiration and direction from a different source. But finally, I really want to drill down on this word, begun. This is always in the book. I'm beginning. I might be in step 10 here, but I'm beginning. Everywhere in the book, we're beginning. I'm beginning the same as someone else. Today, I'm beginning with a new challenge in a new area of my life where I have to rely on direction from something, some power other than me. So I hope you'll all begin again with me today, because we do not reach the end. That's the dieting lifestyle. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Dawn B., would you like to share with us?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Yeah, this is a great paragraph. Receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. And becoming God conscious. For me, I like to practice visualizing myself immersed in the infinite love and wisdom of my higher power, and to see that kind of back in the back of my consciousness. And then to visualize myself back there with my higher power, safe and secure in my, where all I know and all I see and all I can think of is the infinite love of my higher power's loving presence. And then from that safe and secure place to go to practice going about my day. And then when things come up, situations, you know, dealing with my kids or something, I will lift up that situation and ask, you know, how would you have me handle this one, God? You know, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? And from that peaceful place, just my life seems so much, it just seems much more clear when I can be relying on and leaning on my higher power and asking for that guidance and direction of how my higher power would have me deal with life situations. And anyway, it's just a wonderful practice that I like to do, and I thought I would share that. So I look forward to hearing those people who don't normally share and have already enjoyed just the beautiful, beautiful, precious shares that I've heard, and look forward to it. Thank you all so much for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Dawn B. And Marilyn T., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. This is Marilyn T., grateful compulsive overeater in Northern California. I want to thank everyone on the line. Without these meetings, I just don't receive the inspiration sometimes. I do receive the inspiration from the book, where all of my inspiration really comes from the core, from my sponsor in this program. I am, for the second time, going through the steps with A Vision for You, the same sponsor who graciously took me back from where I just didn't thoroughly continue this program of action. And so now doing my 10 steps, I'm really inspired by doing the 10 steps really on everything that disturbs me or just, you know, on my daily practices. So one thing was brought to my attention in the last fourth step doing this, which is self-seeking for me. Even though I've quit doing things physically or verbally to people for harm, in my mind, I still am judgmental. I'm still thinking of manipulative things I could do or people-pleasing things I could do. And these are some real core defects that I'm really working on having God remove from me. And in my mind, as my sponsor said, she heard someone say that in my mind, if anyone knew what I was thinking, I would have been on death row. So for me, an example would be yesterday in a meeting. It is in another program, but what it was I didn't hear a lot of God consciousness of people talking. And here's the thing. That's not my job to judge them, to manipulate them, or to people please them into thinking more about God. And I received really divine inspiration while I was moderating this meeting. I started praying for each person talking. There were over 10 people in the meeting, which was good, and I just started praying for each person, what they were talking about, for their situation. Basically, I was making an ideal for them of what I would like for them, kind of like freedom from bondage. I was just praying for them to have happiness and peace and relief from their pain and for their family. And I've got to say, left to my own devices, I would never have thought of that. I would have continued to judge them. I would have thought about something I could say that would sway them. That is not my job. My job is to pray for all of us who are sick and suffering and to get into this book and to keep my nose in this book and never get out of it. And that is my only source of help, and that is my only source of power, is the power I find in my God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn T. Okay, I'd love to take some more names. We have about 20 minutes left for shares.
Lynn F.
O-H.
Natalie
okay.
G.
Wait a second, I heard Lynn S. Mo H.
Malky G.
Lynn
Malky
F.
G.
Natalie G.
Madeline G.
Lynette P.
Christina L.
All right, one second. Lynn S. T. Who was that after Lynn?
Christina L.
Christina L. Okay, great. Let's stop there. So I have Lynn S., Mo H., Malky G., Madeline G., Lynn S. T., and Christina L. Lynn S., please share with us.
I think you meant Lynette. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Lynette?
Lynette. P. Yeah.
Lynette P. Please go ahead, Lynette.
Thank you. Lynette P. in Southern California. This paragraph is wonderful. I see it sort of as a transition between 10 and 11, but focusing on 10. And I have sensed that flow, and it's wonderful. And I think I first sensed that flow of that spirit in step 5. And then I get to feel this again in step 10 because I'm doing 4 through 9. And I probably have almost daily a step 10. And I get to turn, you know, give this away, talk to somebody else, ask my higher power to take away my character defects, and, you know, turning my attention to others, but turning my attention to my higher power. And if I follow these directions, I get to have these things cleared away, and I'm opening up. And that keeps me in recovery and out of the food and out of the crazy thinking. And it is a daily practice for me to expand my spiritual life. About 20 years ago, I had a major relapse where I gained all my weight back plus more. So that was 100 pounds. And what happened is I let up on the spiritual practice. I let up on a lot of things, but let up on the spiritual practice of the program. And that talks about in a previous paragraph. These days, step 10 is my favorite step because it gives me tools, you know, the specific instructions on a daily basis on how to live my life, and then I can clear that away, and then I'm, you know, always, try to be always, but especially after giving that away with somebody else, you know, talking to God, going back, and to prayer and meditation on a daily basis, as I said, and then turning my attention to somebody else. So there's no let-up, and that sounds kind of negative, but the thing is, it's a daily practice. I can stay in recovery and have the fruits of recovery and connect with others through a higher power if I continue daily, which is so important. And today I'm willing to do that, and I'm so grateful for this meeting and all the help I've received on the meeting. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Lynette P. Mo H., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and all those giving service on the line. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Northern California. Thank you for all these shares. God, they're always so good. I want to drill down on the word higher power or God. I had a great conversation with a recovered fellow this weekend on the line, on the phone, about how my God reveals himself or herself or itself to me. I remember early on after my last relapse, my sponsor, when I would ask her a question, she would say, or ask her for some advice, she would say, "Well, I want you to take that to God. I want you to go to prayer." And I did, and I would listen and stuff, but I, as we discussed this weekend, that God comes in different parts, different forms. There's the God within me, and there's the God that's my higher power outside there, and then there's the God that's in you, and with the skin on. I hear God with skin on. And so when I am questioning something, or when I am praying about something, I can make outreach calls and say, "Have you gone through something similar to this? Or, you know, have you had a slip, or have you had a relapse, or whatever it is that I'm needing to discuss? How did you handle this problem? Can you help me?" And usually I will either hear something on the line that you people are, you know, you are talking about, or I will get inspiration from a phone call. But I think God comes in many different forms. It's just not the one, you know, connect with God. Yes, that's a good idea. And I have to seek God any way I can find God. So I think that has really opened this up to me to really, you know, when I'm doing 10 steps, which has been a gift for me, that I make that phone call to do it with someone on the phone And, you know, I sometimes ask for feedback and sometimes I don't, and sometimes they offer it and I will accept it. And then after that, I make that 12-step call and I don't talk about the situation, which is another gift. So I just love how this program has been written and how I keep learning every day from each and every one of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Malky G, please share with us.
Hi, good morning. It's Malky G from New Jersey. You know, after I finished finishing my step 9, and I was going into my step 10, and my sponsor was asking me about the 9-step promises. And I honestly answered that I really felt those promises coming off with my life. She sort of let me go and said, great, you're ready to move on to 10, 11, and 12. That was very, very scary for me. I felt myself being thrown into the ocean. When I was working with my sponsor every day, I'm working the steps, I'm working on my food plan, I felt like a security, like I felt someone like taking care of me. There was a direction. Also, when I got to my step 10, I felt I was alone with so many emotions and with so much, and it just felt very, very scary for me until I just started doing them. I just started doing them over and over. Whenever I felt agitated and whenever things were coming up, I started doing them. And it's amazing what I'm experiencing. My step 4 through 9, or actually 1 through 9, was a huge breakthrough. But starting to do my 10th step was really strengthening them and bringing them alive for me. And the most amazing thing is I wanted to use my step 10 as another crutch, another person to save me and give me the answers and tell me what to do. And when I started calling recovered people to do my 10 steps, they helped me and guided me, but they ended off leaving it open-ended. Because they were helping me, by keeping open-ended, they were helping me get the last little divine direction. They were just helping me. My step 10s would help me constantly clear up the rubble, which I was always doing in 4 and 9. And my 10 people are helping me, my 10 step clean up the rubble. And that open-endedness, that whatever they told me is to short it. And that was my character defect. And when I was that little piece of open-ended, I would wake up in the morning and that like little spark of clarity come in. So miraculous to experiencing it. And because I'm experiencing that, it's giving me the strength to keep moving on and doing another 10 step. And it's making my 4 through 9, seeing myself, my character defects, and my fears so alive. And I'm so grateful for everyone on this line and this program who is teaching me how to do this. Thanks for listening. And pass.
Thank you, Malky G. Madeline G., please share with us.
Kathy, I think you mean Natalie G. Could that be right?
Oh, okay. Sorry, Natalie. Yes.
No, I just wanted to make sure. Thank you very much for your service, Kathy. Hi, everyone. I'm Natalie G., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I made a commitment that I would get up in the morning to listen to this meeting for at least a week. And then last night I didn't go to bed very early. And I said, okay, God, if you want me to wake up in the morning and do the meeting, please get me up. I don't like to use alarm clocks. I think they're really disruptive to your nervous system. And sure enough, this morning at 6:47, which is when I've been getting up every morning without the alarm clock, I woke up, I'm like, I bet it's 6:47. Sure enough, it is. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to the meeting today. And that, to me, I'm a really practical person. I didn't do this program because I had hope. I didn't do this program because I had faith. I didn't have any faith. I had never thought I'd have recovery. When I walked in the door, I was like, okay, we'll try, but I don't think it's going to work. I didn't have to believe that it was going to work. I just had to do what I was told, and I was willing to do that. And so it talks in this paragraph a little about much has been said about, you know, what can come true if you do all this, if you follow this program. And even 9 years into the 10 years in, you know, I have a new abstinence as of 3 months ago, an entire abstinence, something I didn't have. And even though I've had recovery without it, this entirely abstinent has just cleared the way for my higher power to be present with me, And it's because of these results that I continue to do this program. It's because of these results. I just can't follow something that doesn't produce results, and this program produces results. And then the other part of that I wanted to share this morning is, once again, I have amends to make to my husband. And I could really get down on myself because I just can't seem to shake my need to have him be what I want him to be, and then what I do to him when he's not, even after 20 years of marriage. And, you know, it's not like I beat him up or anything, but I'm not kind to him. I'm impatient when I speak to him. But that's what the program asked me to do. And it reminds me I'm powerless. And that's not an excuse for how I behave, but I have to really get, like, I'm powerless and I have to ask God to help me. And when I forget to ask God, you know, I don't always behave the way I would like to. And the time between when I recognize what I'm doing and my ability to make amends or even stop myself is much shortened. It used to be weeks or months or not even realize it at all. And anyway, the program works. Thank you very much to everyone for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Natalie G. Lynn S.T., please share with us. Lynn, are you there? Okay, I think we'll move on then to Christina L. Are you there, Christina?
Good morning. This is Christina L. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for everybody who is sharing. I'm not normally on this meeting. I'm usually at work at this time, but I am on medical leave for some health stuff that's going on. And just felt like God was calling me to get on this meeting. And I really love the paragraph. I love all the paragraphs. Those last meetings have been really powerful for me. And, I remember when I used to have to start doing 10 steps. I hated doing 10 steps. It felt like such a punishment. It's like, I already did all this work. Why do I have to keep doing it again and stuff? And I heard someone share at one point that instead of having to do it, look at it as I get to do it. And when I get to do it, I get to run to God, and I get to seek that ease and comfort from him instead of, you know, wallowing in my self-pity or whatever defects are coming up, whether it be anger or victim or whatever. And, at first I didn't really get a lot from the 10 steps. But then something started to change. I started to trust the thoughts that were coming into my head as I was writing them and putting them down, even though they sounded like really stupid and corny. I started to see that those were really coming from my higher power. And, that allowed me to change and grow. And, I started to sense that strength, inspiration, and direction from him, that sense of flow into me from his spirit and everything. And I love 10 steps today. It's interesting because, you know, that was always my downfall with the 10 steps. You know, just like Harlan G says, you know, not relying on a higher power, like, you know, something wasn't, my higher power wasn't big enough. And then underutilizing the step 10s and stuff, because I always thought that I could handle it myself and that it wasn't that big of a deal, and that and sure enough it is. They are all big deals. And as I mentioned, I'm going through some health stuff, and for the last 2 weeks when I was really, really, really sick, you know, I couldn't even think to do a 10 step. You know, I knew I needed to do them, and I was just so afraid of letting them pile up and stuff. And, you know, the inspiration I got was just to keep a list, just to keep a running list of them, turn it over to God, ask him to remove it, show me when I could do it, and just let me move on with the next right thing. And that was self-care for like a good 2 weeks, it was solid self-care. And then this last weekend, you know, more health stuff came up, and, you know, I felt myself immediately shift into that self-pity, and I realized, I'm like, okay, God, I hear you, and I'm going to start doing these 10 steps. And so I am, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share, and thanks for being here. Have a great day.
Thank you, Christina. Okay, I just want to check to see if Lynn St. is there. All right, then we have time for one more share. Who would like to share?
Amy K.
Go ahead, Amy.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Amy K. in New York, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful to have been on this meeting this morning. And I want to share about how this God consciousness is worked in my life this morning. So I had a conversation with another fellow earlier, and I had said that I'd committed to go to a face-to-face meeting, and when I got off the phone, I realized that in order to get there, I would really be rushing. And the old Amy rushes all the time. She rushed all the time. And so what I did instead was I sent a text. I stopped and I breathed first. And then I had an experience of that old slogan that used to make me crazy, which is let go and let God. I remember just staring at that one on the table in frustration, thinking, but what do they mean? And so this morning I had an experience of that, and what it looked like for me was to stop and breathe and notice that I was setting myself up for rushing through breakfast and running and driving too fast and getting to that meeting late. And I realized through God consciousness and inspiration that I could do it another way. So I took some quiet time, and I had my breakfast slowly and consciously, and then I got on this meeting on time, and I've been listening, and I even look at that, got to share. And so, you know, I'm having a lovely, relaxed morning, and there hasn't been any rushing involved, except, you know, just talking about that rushing me got my heart pumping. So I'm very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Amy. Okay, what a wonderful meeting today. It's time to close the meeting. I want to give a special thank you to Kathy G., Rhonda R., Shannon M., Kara L., and Dawn B. for helping me do service this morning. And thank you to everyone who has shared. Also, thank you to Mo H. and Reggie O., who we will hear from right after we say the Serenity Prayer. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, A Vision for You. Kara L., would you please read that for us?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.